People say less is more. At Red Barn, we think less is better. It's what you won't find that sets our natural premium pet food apart. No byproducts, no corn or soy, no fillers. Just the natural ingredients your pets need to live the healthy life they deserve. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Visit redbarninc.com/coupon to save $1 off your first can.
Hi, I'm Jaden Sterling, international best-selling author of The Alchemy of True Success. And thanks so much for tuning in to Soul to Profit Radio, bringing business to spirituality and spirituality to business. Each show, we are committed to helping you, our enlightened audience, discover your purpose, share your gifts, and monetize your message. Life is short, so let's get started. Hello to all my wonderful, loyal listeners from around the globe. I'm your host, Jaden Sterling, and welcome to Soul to Profit Radio, where myself and my guests share tips and strategies that will fill your soul and your wallet. I have an amazing guest today, and before I introduce her, I'm going to encourage everyone to join us in our chat room. If you have questions for Pragito, the chat room is open on Facebook, and join the Wealth and Wisdom Party. The Facebook page is facebook.com/Jaden, J-A-D-E-N, Sterling, Wealth, Wisdom. So if you go to that page, join us there. And while you're there, please click the like button. And remember to sign up for my free ebook by clicking on the tab Free Ebook here. The ebook is called Your Destiny Delivered, and it's a guide to discovering your soul's purpose and developing your inner gifts. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to my terrific guest. We only have an hour with her today, and I know we're going to have an amazing conversation. Her name is Pragito Dove. Pragito is the founder of Laughing Buddha's Network and president of Discover Meditation Training Incorporated. It's a cutting-edge meditation training company. She is the leading authority on expressive meditation, which I'm looking forward to finding out what that is, the leading authority in North America on expressive meditation, and also a thought leader on visionary thinking. She's a master trainer, an international speaker, meditation expert. Pragito teaches people how to transform pain and fear into joy and inner peace in order to achieve business and personal success. After Pragito skyrocketed her business income to six figures in less than 2 years, she knew she had to share her secrets to entrepreneurs worldwide. And Pragito, welcome to Soul to Profit Radio.
Thank you, Jaden. I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, we're so happy to have you, and you're calling in from Marin County, is that correct?
Marin County, which is just over the Golden Gate Bridge from San Francisco, yes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for joining us. And, you know, ever since we connected through the Evolutionary Business Council, I've been looking forward to this day of having you on my show. And Pragito, will you share with our listeners a little more about you and your story?
Yes, I'm glad you asked me that because I think my background is very pertinent to this conversation. So I grew up in London in the UK, and I had a very difficult and painful childhood. It really wasn't much fun, and so I had no self-confidence. Really, I can say I was programmed in lack. You know, there wasn't enough money, there wasn't enough love, there wasn't enough anything. And actually, there was enough money. We were, I would say, in the middle of the middle class, you know, not very poor, but not very, very rich. But there was so much fear around money that I just grew up with this fear always there wasn't enough money and there wasn't going to be enough money or love for that matter. So what I decided to do, actually when I was quite a small child, I decided this, that this was just not a way that I wanted to live my life. I don't know how I knew that. I just knew that something else better was possible. And I knew I had to heal my heart. So when I graduated from college and I got married and I had my son, and it was when my son was born that I really realized I had to do something about all the fear inside of me, and I had anger and I had pain. And if I didn't do something to heal that, then I would just pass that on to him and we would just have another person who was not functioning at their best. So I started to look around and I had heard about meditation, but I thought meditation meant sitting, chanting mantras, or just sitting for hours on end in silence, and I simply couldn't do that. I had a lot of emotional turmoil. I had my mind was like going, you know, a million miles a minute. And I had physical stress, and I just, the thought of doing that didn't appeal to me at all. But then I heard about these expressive meditations that I now teach from a teacher called Osho, who was in India. And I started to do them in London with a group in London, and then they worked for me. So I went to India, and I took my son with me, because by this time my marriage was also falling apart. So somehow I felt like my whole life was completely falling apart. Well, it was. But at the same time, I found what helped me heal and led to the great success I have now. So you mentioned when you were reading my bio, you were interested in the expressive meditation. So let me use the example of the laughter meditation. It's the most fun and the most popular meditation for obvious reasons, and I'll tell you how that works. So the first stage, we laugh, and the second stage, we sit in silence. And the point of it is, the first stage is to release stress. Laughter releases stress on the physical level, on the mental level, on the emotional level, and it also helps us spiritually as well. So when we laugh, we also heal fear, because you can't be laughing and worried at the same time. You can't be laughing and in anxiety at the same time. You just can't. So laughter helps to heal fear, and it also opens the heart. And it helps to heal the pain in the heart too. So, I mean, there's so many benefits to laughter. It's quite amazing. And then in the second stage, when you sit in silence, then it's very easy to drop down into your inner peace and calm and get in touch with your inner wisdom and your creativity and the inner peace that we all have within us. We're all born with, and the inner joy too. And it's like, I guess, the expressive part of the meditation, it sort of cuts through all the crap and gets you to the good part, which is still there, buried under all the stress. This is the good news about it, is that the inner peace and calm, the joy, the creativity, the wisdom that we all have within us, it's still there. And we can get to it really quickly through these expressive techniques.
Wonderful.
Do you want to know about any other types of these expressive meditations and what they're for?
Yeah, I would. I just have a couple questions about what you just shared.
Uh-huh.
The what I heard you say was the laughter really brings one into the present moment.
Yes.
That, and you went as far as to say it even heals fear. So are you saying on a cellular level that the laughter will actually heal the fear in the present moment, but will it also heal, you know, will it, if it comes back up again later on, are you saying get right into the phase of just laughing at fear?
Yeah, so when you do a lot of laughter meditation, which I have done, what happens over time is the fear starts to dissolve because it can't be there in the face of our natural state of joy and inner peace and calm. It just can't be there because it's false.
Mm-hmm.
The only real fear that we have is the fear, like if there's a tiger in our backyard, we got to run. Yes?
Right.
The same way as animals in the wild, if a zebra sees a lion, it has to run. That's real fear that we must pay attention to. But 99% of the fear that we have is in our heads. And it's about the future of what might happen. And the mind usually forecasts things negatively. That's just the nature of the mind. And I had particularly bad programming from my mind, from my upbringing, that everything was going to be negative, like, oh, well, that probably won't work, and, you know, there probably won't be enough money, we probably won't get any more work. You know, that kind of thinking,
mm-hmm.
which creates fear on the cellular level, yes, in the body. So what happens when you do all this laughter is that it reminds the body and the inner wisdom that our natural state is joy and that we have wisdom and inner peace and these amazing inner qualities, so that over time the fear is erased. And I can testify to that myself, because that's what's happened to me. The fear just doesn't arise anymore. And if any thoughts do pop in my mind, I'm on them immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're not true. They're just making stuff up about the future, which is unknown. You know,
right.
So you might as well think positive about the future as negative, because when you do these meditation techniques over time, you realize you have a choice, and you don't have to be at the effect of the mind. You don't have to believe all the thoughts of the mind.
Yes. Wonderful. So your way of coming back into your natural state of beingness, which is joy, is through the laughter, because you're changing your physiology. How long do you have to laugh for that to work?
As long as possible.
Okay.
You know, it's difficult to give a timeline, because that's the mind. The mind that is concerned with time. And this is an existential question. This is about our being, where there is no time. So what I always say is it depends on the programming you've had. I had really bad programming, really bad, around money and all this lack and fear and so on. So it took me a while. It took me a while. But other people, it might be quite quick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's different. It's a very individual journey. But what I can tell you is that as soon as you start doing this laughter meditation, which is basically it's making a deliberate practice of laughter, because most people probably laugh, you know, a number of times a week, say. But what I'm encouraging you to do is make a deliberate practice of it. Look for things on YouTube every day that make you laugh. You know, look for videos, movies, whatever it is. Seek out comedy, yes? And bring it into your life more, and it's going to start shifting quite quickly. Because the results, you know, when you do a laughter meditation, even if you just laugh for 1 or 2 minutes and then sit in silence, you're going to immediately get results and notice how easy it is to drop down to the inner silence.
Yes, and there was a movie about this, I'm sure many movies, but the one that comes to mind is the movie Patch Adams with Robin Williams, based on a true story. Are you familiar with it?
I am familiar, and I have had a conversation with Patch Adams himself, actually. And this idea has really been gathering momentum through the whole of North America. There's clowns. There's a lot of laughter people who go into hospitals and help people who are sick, and actually help all of us, you know, all around the country. So,
and that was, you know, was that what he said, that that was his findings, that through the laughter he was able to help the children going through their difficulties. Is that right?
Yes.
Wonderful. Yes.
And, wow, and you know, it's very, very profound, because, you know, when people get sick, they go into fear. And when you can find ways to laugh, then it really helps with the fear, because fear creates tension in the body. So then that doesn't help if you're already sick, you know.
Right.
So if you can laugh, the laughter helps to relax the body. Laughter has a very powerful effect on the physical body to relax it and release stress. And then it helps you be more healthy.
And something so simple, something that we have available to us that can easily transform our physical body and also our mental state. So you're saying the first thing you'd recommend if someone's in the state of fear, which, you know, I hear from so many people when they're building their business or looking to start something new, that fear is the number one thing that stops them in their tracks.
Yes.
And your suggestion is to, whenever, if a feeling of fear comes up, just start laughing, right? Just keep,
yes.
Just
yes. And
let's all do that together. I hope all our listeners are having a good laugh right now, because
yes, yes,
oh,
exactly. And also, Jaden, don't wait until there's fear. Create a deliberate laughter practice every day.
Okay.
Because if you laugh, you know, when there isn't fear, just because, and why not, because, it, you know, it makes more fun in life, then when the fear is there, what happens is your subconscious, which is 95% of you, it kicks in for you and helps remind you, hey, you know, look at your one of your YouTube. I have some YouTube things on my desktop, you know, so they start every day with some laughter. So it becomes a habit. And then over time, the grip of the fear starts receding. It starts dissolving. And the power of joy and the laughter is there more. Does that make sense?
It does. It does on many levels, because my experience has been if there's ever a state of fear, it's about thinking about the past or the future. It's not
yes.
about the present moment.
Exactly. It's not being in the present moment, because and even if, you know, even if you are in fear, what you can do is just be present with it and allow it, because fear is natural for all of us. It's part of our humanity, and everybody has it to a greater or lesser degree, but just allow it and just be with it, just sort of befriend it.
Yeah, I've often said to have a conversation with it.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Ask it, oh, well, you know, to really acknowledge it, first of all, and then have a conversation saying, you know, what is it that you want me to know right now?
Yes. Yes, and often you'll find if you give the fear a voice, it's saying things that might happen in the future, you know, which, as we've already said, is unknown.
Right.
So, of course, we want to be, you know, we don't want to be too overly optimistic and assume everything's always going to work out great, because sometimes it doesn't. But either way, we can be present with what is, because the other thing is then, because fear can act, you know, now I've started talking about the law of attraction a bit, fear
mm-hmm.
can actually repel what it is that we really want.
Sure.
You know, I like to say, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, we want to keep our high vibes up at an 8, 9, 10 level. But fear drags us down maybe to under a number 5, like at 2, 3, or 4. And then we're transmitting fear. And and then we get that back. Mm-hmm. So there's a real world motivation for us to keep our vibes, our vibrations at that higher level of relaxation and positivity, and the laughter meditation can really help get you there if you make a practice of it pretty darn quickly.
Exactly, and I like what you said about, you know, thinking of the future. If we can adopt a viewpoint or a stance of being about being remaining optimistic, however,
yes,
also being flexible,
yes,
you know, knowing that challenges will arise, they, you know, of
yes,
course, right? And the greater someone's goal is, or the greater the achievement they want to accomplish, more challenges will come up. But that's all they are, is simply challenges. And when they do, laugh about it.
Yes, yes. And usually it's also situations, you know, like conversations you want to have, or with a particular person, or a TV show you want to get on, or a speaking engagement you want, and so on. And when you can keep yourself in a positive mindset, then you have more courage to go out there and ask. I love that word, A-S-K, ask, for what you want. And you might get a yes and you might get a no, but if you don't ask, it's going to be no. And as business owners, we have to find the courage to ask.
Yeah, so share with us why you love the word ask.
Well, when I was a child, pretty much anything I asked for, I got told no. And so it was very difficult for me when I first started my business and so on to ask for what I wanted and to put things out there. So I had to really work at my laughter meditation and all the meditations I teach to find my courage to go for it, because I realized if I didn't ask, the answer was no.
Yeah.
But if I did ask, at least I gave a chance for the yes. And, you know, to this day, it isn't always yes, the answer. But at least I asked. And then you can let go of the energy rather than just sitting on it wondering, you know, if I asked, maybe they would have said yes. And then you just start going in circles in your head, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of stagnating, which doesn't help at all. It's very important to keep the energy moving. So I've just learned over time to go out there and ask, and if it's no, I'm pleased that I asked and move on.
Yeah,
you know?
So I like what you said about keeping the energy moving. And are you
yes,
referring to the energy that comes from you by asking so that you're moving your business forward?
Yes, exactly. Because the cool thing is, you know, I always, you know, I have my goals and my dreams and so on, and I like to do at least one thing a day towards whatever my goals are, because that keeps the energy moving. It keeps me in touch with where I'm going. And it's very important. And even if we do get a no, you get to a point where it doesn't used to just crush me at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It'd take me a week to get over something. But now it's just like, okay, well, great. At least you asked, so we can check that off. Now let's turn our attention over here, you know. And you keep yourself moving forward, because as a business
yeah,
owner, you want to keep the energy moving, because if it's not, it's stagnating. And
yes,
it's stopped, you know, and then nothing's going to happen.
You know, I've really developed. I've worked very diligently on developing a practice of getting excited when I hear a no, because I also know that that gets me closer to my yes.
Yes, exactly.
So it's a little, you know, a mental switch that I don't allow the no's to defeat me. It actually allows me to dig in even deeper, be more resolved in terms of achieving my goals, and it motivates me. There's something about those no's that really motivates me to keep going.
Yes, and I like what you're saying, because it kind of forces us to get more creative. And that's what you need as a business owner. You need your creativity. Because, okay, if this can't happen this way, because this person over here said no, then I put my creativity hat on and I think, okay, so how else could I get this achieved? You know?
Yes.
And I come up with, you know, some really creative ideas, and the meditation helps with that too. And the laughter meditation, I teach a wide range of meditation techniques, and the laughter is really the best one I recommend for creativity. Because when I've done some laughter, I get these great ideas.
Mm.
And you might see a situation from a different perspective than the way you were seeing it before, where you could only see this one solution and then this person said no. But if you do some laughter or just put your creativity hat on, however you want to do it, then you can think, oh, but you know what? Maybe this other person over here who knows that person, maybe I could work something that way, you know?
Oh, I love that. Yes. And for our listeners who are just joining us or have recently joined us, you're listening to Soul to Profit Radio. I'm your host Jaden Sterling, and I'm interviewing Pragito Dove. She is the founder of Laughing Buddhas Network and president of Discover Meditation Training Incorporated. And we're having an amazing conversation about life and business and staying present and moving your business forward. And Pragito, can you take us back to the time when you discovered your purpose, you know, you aligned with your purpose, and then what happened for you or what were the steps that you took that you were able to build out your business to a six-figure income over a two-year period?
Well, my business evolved out of all the healing work I did. So that the original intention I went to India was to heal myself, so my son, and be the best mom I could be, so my son didn't have to go through what I went through. And then unexpectedly, I was invited to do a lot of trainings for these meditations. And I realized that my purpose was to bring them back to North America and teach them here, which seemed kind of a daunting task. But I did it. And I also trained in hypnotherapy, which is I do individual work with people to help uncover what is in the unconscious, how they are self-sabotaging themselves unconsciously, so those blocks can be cleared and you can move forward. So there is a very important emphasis on what's going in the subconscious. It's a bit like a tree, working on the roots of the tree, because unless the roots of the tree are straight and deep in the ground and have plenty of space around them, and if they've been tangled, they get untangled, and if there's rotten roots, you get rid of them, because only then can your tree grow straight and tall and you have plenty of fruit and flowers on the branches. So I do emphasize, you know, clearing out all the blocks in the subconscious that are there, because otherwise it makes it very hard to get the fruit and flowers on your tree, which of course is the financial reward in your business. So I did a lot of that work first, which is why I think I had the quick success in 2 years in terms of getting up to six figures. Because by the time I took some business courses, I had done a lot of this personal work, and I was also very clear on what my business was and what I was here to share, which is all these techniques and the hypnotherapy work and so on. So what I needed to learn was some systems so that I could increase my income. And one of the important things was the funnel, which I'm sure you've probably heard of, yes? Having a funnel.
Yes.
So that
can
I had I had some free offerings to for people, which is my Laughing Buddhas Network. That's free to join. And I do a free call approximately once a month for people who want to just, you know, see what I'm like to work with and what kind of things I talk about and so on. So have some things to offer for free, and then have some very inexpensive things, because by this time I think I'd already written my second book. So it's a good idea to have a book. And I had CDs, and those were inexpensive products people could buy to get started on seeing how they like working with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have going up a little bit, I have an inner circle, which is, you can either pay $19.95 a month or it's $197 for a year. You get 2 months free, so that the next commitment people might feel like making would be to commit to that. It's 1 hour a month. The calls are recorded so that they can learn. I talk there about meditation, law of attraction. That's a very popular topic that I'm very expert at on that program. And then going up from there, that the more expensive programs like my trainings, where I actually train people to teach these meditations and to teach the law of attraction work and everything I teach, so that they can make money themselves from it and share it with others. And then, of course, there's the individual sessions too. So this was very instrumental for me, learning this funnel of having things to offer people that are free and then very low prices, and with the prices sort of increasing with what they actually got for that.
So
I'd say that was a big turnaround for me, learning how to set that up. Also, I mean, I don't know, maybe people would take this for granted, but when I started taking credit cards, you know, that was a big hurdle, and I got a lot more clients because I could take credit cards. That's a very important thing. And then with the bookkeeping, I got a fabulous system set up for my bookkeeping, so it's very easy to do. I use QuickBooks. I love that program. And, I mean, it took a while to get it set up. These things take a while to get set up. You know,
you have
to be patient there. But then once everything's set up, everything just goes through really smoothly and easily.
Now, do you hire subcontractors to help you set some of these aspects of your business up, or are you doing this on your own? Okay.
No, I definitely did for the QuickBooks, because, you know, finances was not one of my expertises at all. In fact, I had some resistance to it. I didn't really want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I found somebody who was a very good teacher and set it up. And something, this is very important, I think somebody said this to me once, was always to oversee your own financials. Don't just hand it over to somebody else, which is what I was tempted to do, because I didn't really want to deal with it, you know, not being my expertise. But I bit the bullet and I studied it. I found this woman who was, she set it up in a very simple way that I could understand it and follow it. Because I realized that, you know, if it came a time I needed to find another bookkeeper, I needed to understand the system myself, so to explain it to the new bookkeeper, which actually, I think I've changed bookkeepers 2 or 3 times. I've got a fabulous one now. But, you know, I understand the system, and that's important. So I think there's always aspects of your business that you'd rather not look at. Like for some people, it's sales, you know, or marketing. But I do advise, I like to hire somebody personally. I mean, I've taken tons of classes, but I also like to hire somebody to sort of step me through it for the part, the aspects of the business that are more challenging for me. So I get a really good grasp on it. And it's kind of hard, you know. But when you come out the other side, like now, I absolutely love the financial side. I love it because I can do it now. I've got a handle on it, and I love it.
Yeah, and you're probably exactly, and you're probably able to more easily see when you're putting money, let's say, in a direction of maybe you're doing a marketing campaign, and you can see what kind of results that you're getting from that campaign. So you're actually in touch with your ROI or your return on investment.
Yes.
Rather than, you know, taking someone else's word, or I agree with you, and I think hopefully all our listeners are hearing this message to fully embrace the financial piece of their business.
Yes.
And get in touch with that. You know, you have to know where your money is going in your business and what you're spending it on and what kind of investments that you're making that are bringing the greater returns, you know, whether it's Facebook advertising or Google AdWords, you know, whatever that thing is that you're doing. And hats off to you for knowing the importance of that and also, you know, really embracing that.
Yes, thank you. And something else I want to say here too is find a teacher that you feel good about, because when I started, and particularly with the technical stuff and the internet stuff, which is also not one of my great expertises, I did start with some people. I found they were talking to me in a rather condescending way. Oh, don't you know this? You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I let them go because,
good.
No, I don't know this. That's why I'm hiring you.
Exactly.
And, you know, I don't need somebody talking to me like that because I don't know something. So I think it's very important to have people that you do hire to teach you things, to mentor you, that they do so with compassion, that they explain things, because I'm not good with jargon, you know, especially on technical things. And I was saying, what exactly do you mean by that? So you want someone who speaks in plain English to non-techies or non-financial people, which I was, those being, I think, the main areas of difficulty for me when I started, so that your self-esteem isn't eroded by these, quote, experts,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I found some very nice people to teach me things and help me with things, and that is a very important piece, too, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, because you're highly, you know, respectful person, and you're wanting the same from other professionals that you're doing business with.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the more enlightened professionals, the enlightened people out there are that way anyway. You know, they are respectful, they're kind, they give you the time that you need, and they understand that they don't confuse kindness with weakness. They know that that's something, a new skill for someone, just like, you know, anyone who is starting out playing, developing any kind of new skill, playing the piano or,
right,
you know, learning what you know. Like that was, it's incredible. So I agree, and hopefully anyone who is listening to the show who has a professional in your life that you're working with who is being the way that you described, either condescending or unkind, get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of great people out there who are, you know, who you'd enjoy working with. So
yes, and to me, that's one of the great things about being an entrepreneur. You can just fire them, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to
good.
Work with anybody that isn't a good match with you, that isn't a good fit.
That's right.
And that's, you know, that's also law of attraction, is make sure the person is a good match. I actually just fired somebody recently because I felt they were being a bully, and I don't need that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm can find somebody that is a good match for me, and then everything just goes so much better, and there's more creativity, which you want too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that, because oftentimes when we work with certain professionals for an extended period of time, you know, they can get a little lazy and a little
yeah.
You know, whereas if you're bringing in new people into the fold and new ideas and new energy, you might,
yes.
you know, they can help you move forward much faster.
Yes.
So let me go. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say they have a fresh perspective, but yeah, that's all I was going to say.
Yes, exactly. So let me go back to your very beginning. I love what you said. You said when you, and I wrote this down, when you first got into your business, it came from a place of that you first cleared your own blocks.
Yes.
So you cleared out your, you know, whatever was limiting you from your childhood. And
mm-hmm.
do you think, by the way, just as a quick question, do you think that how important is childhood when you know, is that really the foundation of our future in terms of what happens to us during childhood, what has been ingrained in us or taught to us or what we saw as we grew up? It leaves an impact, doesn't it?
It's huge. It's absolutely huge because, you know, we're programmed by our parents, by our culture, in a certain way, which might be very negative like mine was, or maybe it's very positive, but it definitely impacts us. And then there's the emotional state. If we've been hurt a lot, it's very difficult. It's kind of like being crippled, and then you're trying to move forward in life, but with a lot of pain or anger or fear. And it's difficult to move forward like that. So I highly recommend, I mean, I'm not saying you have to be enlightened and you have to get all perfect, but at least clear a lot of the backlog out that is negative, so that it makes going forward much quicker. I think that's one of the reasons that I got up to six figures in 2 years when I started implementing all these systems I was telling you about, because I didn't have anything subconsciously in the way.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready. And I was also ready to receive, which is another piece that's also part of Law of Attraction, is people have, I think the number one reason that people, you know, a lot of people, they have their goals out there, and the number one reason they don't achieve them is they don't have the ability to receive them. They're not good at receiving. This is a very doing society we live in, this culture, this North American culture. It's a lot of doing. But a very important piece of Law of Attraction is your ability to receive and allow. Because that's when you get the unexpected phone calls and emails from people who want to hire you for things because they met you 3 years previous and suddenly something's come up and they've remembered you. You know, and you get those phone calls or those emails. So we also...
Will you share?
Pardon?
Will you share with our listeners how they can improve on their receiving? Because this is huge. I find it in my work as well with my clients.
Yes. Well, the first thing is to be aware of it. As we're talking about it right now,
mm-hmm.
be aware about receiving, and something that you can do to practice it in a small way. You know, if you're out for coffee with a friend and they say, oh, I'll get the coffees, do you say, oh, no, that's okay, I'll get them, and sort of argue with them that you're going to pay for the coffee? Or do
mm-hmm.
you graciously just say, thank you? Thank you, that would be wonderful. And receive it.
Yeah.
Or if someone, you're out for dinner with a friend and the friend says, oh, I'll get dinner, do you argue, no, I'm going to pay for it? Or do you say, thank you, that's very kind, thank you, I appreciate that? Or, yes? So you can start.
And oftentimes people will say, well, let's go Dutch. So they haven't,
yes.
they still haven't received the gift.
No, going Dutch isn't receiving. And when you don't receive, you deny your friend the opportunity to give you something as well. And so you start practicing in these small ways in your day-to-day life. There's always plenty to receive. Maybe somebody smiles at you in the grocery store. You know, just receive it. Smile back. Maybe a driver lets you in a lane, you know. Receive it and give them a thank you wave.
Yes.
I mean, there's so many opportunities during the day to receive. And I also just want to point out that the reason people don't want to receive or have, you know, do not have a good habit of receiving is fear, because receiving makes us feel vulnerable. Because we have to be open and take something in. And a practice that I do, because I've had to practice this, because, you know, from my childhood, there was no way I wanted to be vulnerable. Something I recommend, and you can do this when you're in bed or just lie on the floor or lie on a couch, and open up your palms face up and just lie and just say something like, right now I am receiving. And it doesn't, I don't mean you're not receiving anything in particular, but receiving from the universe. So you get in the practice of what it feels like to be in a receptive state. Because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, this culture we live in is all about doing and giving, which is good up to a point. But we need to balance it out with being vulnerable and receiving, because this is how the universe can give us gifts. And the universe is just dying to give us, shower us with gifts. And life doesn't have to be that hard.
Yes, and I love what you're saying. It resonates with me. And the way that I was able to wrap my mind around being a better receiver was when I read a quote, and the quote was, the most generous person is the one who receives.
Yes.
And somehow, Pragito, that helped reframe in my mind that, because it brought me to the feeling of how good I feel when I give to someone.
Yes.
And I wasn't allowing other people to have that good a feeling by me never receiving from them.
Yes.
So it just helped shift the energy and the thought behind giving and receiving from me. So now, and I've often said that if we can't receive the little things, like you're saying, either a compliment or a cup of coffee from a friend or dinner, who are we to think that we can receive the big things from the universe?
Exactly, because the universe is watching us. Oh, she can't receive a cup of coffee, so how can she receive a six-figure book deal? You know?
That's right, yes.
You know?
Yes.
So the way I look at it is, you practice receiving. This is another practice you can do every day, along with your laughter practice, is you practice receiving all these small things as we've been talking about, and what happens is, your capacity to receive increases so that you can receive more and more and more, and in unexpected ways. The mind always wants to be in control and know everything. Well, the mind doesn't know everything. Just, you know, let the mind relax and be open, because this is the magic of life, because life itself is magic.
Will you share how you personally open yourself up to receiving the magic of the universe?
Well, I do the technique I described. I do it every day. I do it when I wake up in the morning, I lie on my back and I have both my palms up, and I say thank you to the universe. Thank you for, because gratitude practice is part of it too. Thank you for everything I have and for everything that's coming to me today. You know, so I do that every morning when I wake up. I also do it every night. Thank you for the day. Thank you for, I have a gratitude journal. I write down five things that I'm grateful for that day. You know, and it could be that my neighbor came over for a chat or something like that, you know. It's not about grandiose things, like I just won the Nobel Peace Prize, you know. I think that the mind thinks it has to be all these grandiose things, and it does just the ordinary little things in our day-to-day lives, you know. Or the guy at the post office told me a joke when I went over there today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
These things that make our lives fun in the smallest, most ordinary ways, and to notice them, to be aware of them, and receive them each day. It's a practice you do each day, and it's the easiest thing when you start. Maybe a gratitude journal would help people get started, just so you focus on what you're grateful for, which is a form of receiving. You know, being aware of what you received that day.
Yes, and it also seems like your asking throughout your day also is in alignment with your receiving, because you're creating opportunities by your asking. Is that correct?
Yes, and the asking is, you know, with the law of attraction is basically three basic steps. You know, the first one is to, you know, get clear on what you want and ask for it. And then you have to allow. You have to allow the universe to bring it to you. So once you've asked for it, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean let it go and go into some passive, oh, that's never going to happen, you know.
Right.
but just letting it go with a kind of positive vibration of
right.
joy, and then focusing on other things. Well, usually when I ask for things, especially big things, then I just forget about it. I just stop
mm-hmm.
thinking about it. I've asked and it's out there. Now I'm focusing on other things, you know.
That takes discipline, I think, you know, because
it does.
I think most people want to keep day after day asking and asking and asking
yes.
and asking. It's like, you know.
And then you become like a sort of needy beggar, you know.
Yes.
Whereas you want to be like an emperor, you know, who already has, I mean, we already have vast wealth within us. To me, wealth is an inner state. Abundance is an inner state. We already have everything. We are given it. We are given creativity. We are given joy. We are given inner peace. We are given love. All of these things, when we're born, we are given this incredible wealth. And it's recognizing it and allowing it and being with it and knowing that, because then every moment is filled with joy. And I learned this. Nobody taught me this. Because, you know, the way I was raised from my childhood, it was all about lack and what we don't have. And then when I started studying all these meditations, and of course this is now what I share and teach people, is, oh, I get it. I already have it. You know, I already have everything. And I'm just, every day, I'm just asking to see, to grow this business and do these things and so on, and serve people. And then it just becomes easy, because your business really should be easy. And I know there's, you know, there's can be tense times and tough times maybe when the economy goes down, which I've experienced too. But when you know that what you're doing is your purpose, then you have nothing to worry about, because the universe is going to step in some form or another to support you. But it can't do that if your fists are clenched tight, because you're kind of fighting your way through every day.
Yes, I love what you just said. I hope our listeners took all of that in and they took that to heart, because what you're really defining is our divine state of beingness.
Yes.
We're
which
equipped.
We all have.
Yes, we all have it. It's within us. So it's really, it's a matter of people doing their work, doing their
yes.
healing work, whatever that looks like. And I loved how you said that you discovered your purpose by being on your journey. You were simply
yes.
on your path
mm-hmm.
and realized, and that's so important for people to know, that that, you know, people say, well, what is my soul's purpose? You know, they think it's this, like, going to fall out from the sky on a giant billboard, and it's going to say, this is your purpose. And
yeah.
And I think it's really important for people to remember the power of their experiences and the power of their journey. And that is, if we're awake and aware enough to get the messages from our journey, we can see that that's our purpose. Our purpose is in
yes.
there somewhere. It's like woven in there.
It is, and it really comes down to being yourself, being your true self.
And so when someone says they don't know their purpose, they're probably saying they truly don't know themselves yet.
Yes, because there's all kinds of stuff in the way, programming from people who've told you what you should and ought to be. But they don't know. Nobody knows. Just us.
Yeah.
And that's what I had to do. I had to work my way doing all these expressive meditation techniques. I was throwing off all the programming and healing my heart. And then I was able to step into my true self. My true self emerged as all this crap fell off me. There was my true self. And then your purpose is, it's kind of obvious, you know.
Yes. We have someone in the chat room saying that was an extremely key piece, knowing your true self. And she's right. That's big.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. You are a delight. You are fantastic, Pragito. Thank you for showing up to step into your true self and for doing the work you had to do in order to share your beautiful message with the world.
Well, you're very welcome, Jaden. I've enjoyed sharing this. It's my greatest joy now to share, you know, everything that I've learned and all the techniques that work for me so that everybody can have this, because you can.
Yes. So please share with our listeners how they can find out more about your work and how they can sign up for that monthly call that you have, because I'm sure everyone from the show is going to want to do that.
Yes. My website is discovermeditation.com, and that's where you can find everything. There is the Laughing Buddhas Network, which is free to join my newsletter, and the free call is there, right there on the homepage, where you can, you know, sign up and find out more. You could also send me an email through the info link there. If anybody's got any questions, you're welcome to send me an email.
Wonderful. And are you out and about teaching your classes and doing that?
I am. Yes.
And is your schedule?
I do speaking.
Okay.
Yes, and I do speaking and offer all kinds of things. So that people went from the newsletter.
From the newsletter. Okay. So when they opt into your newsletter, you'll keep in touch with them and let them know where they can find your classes and.
Yes.
Because I know I'm going to get a bunch of emails. Where can I find out her work? And how can I sign up? And so, good. Well, Pragito, thank you so much for sharing your powerful story and for sharing your energy and time with us today. I greatly appreciate you.
Well, it's been my pleasure to be here, Jaden, and thank you for having this show, because I think it's very, very helpful for people. So big kudos to you, too.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. I will.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. There we have it. Pragito Dove. That was so amazing what she shared. And I'll reiterate just a few steps that I thought were the most impactful, because I wrote them all down. Hopefully you did too. But remember what she said. She cleared out her own blocks. She then took business courses and learned techniques about what she needed to do to create systems. And she described that system as a funnel. And we haven't talked a lot about the funnel. Tracy Repchick did talk about the marketing funnel initially, but that was to have an offering that is free for people to test your stuff out, to get to know you, to share. So you can share your message and what you're wanting to do, and you know how what your story is and what your purpose is. And then she just created from there offerings, started out with a smaller, lower price product, and then went into a monthly coaching, and now with her one-on-one practice. So those were the steps Pragito took to get to six figures within 2 years. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. I've enjoyed it. Pragito is fantastic. I learned a lot, and hopefully you will continue to learn the steps that you need to fill your soul and your wallet. Have a fantastic week, everyone. You can reach me at Jaden, Jaden Sterling.com. Hope to hear from you, and I will speak with you soon. Take care.
Bobby, you're here again.
Yeah, my doctor told me to reduce stress at work, so I come to Buffalo Wild Wings to eat lunch and watch sports. I get to pick one of seven entrees, like sandwiches and salads, plus one of seven sides.
Well, I like sides.
It's so affordable, I can finally take a vacation.
Where are you going to go?
Here, Tim, here.
Introducing the new B-Dubs Fast Break Lunch Menu, starting at a new low price. Dine in or order takeout weekdays between 11 and 2. Participation and availability may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.